Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, are you a little down, a little frustrated, feeling a little powerless as the country takes a huge turn to the left, which for most of us is not good news, whether you're a Trump fan or not, if you're a conservative, if you're a biblical Christian that cares about the issue we're talking about the full hour today, the issue of life, which makes a regular appearance here on the Steve Noble Show, as it should. Anybody that that hosts a platform or a radio show or whatever that calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ should be regularly bringing up the issue of life. And certainly we're going to spend the hour doing that. So one way that you can avoid feeling powerless is to do something, not the least of which is prayer. We should be deeply in prayer for our nation and what's coming in these next few weeks, few months, few years. And so we need to be people of prayer, stay in the Word, stay connected to your local body of Christ, stay encouraged with other believers. But on the issue of life, you can still get out there. It's not illegal to show up and to have a peaceful gathering, a peaceful protest, if you will, to have a march for the cause of life, as has occurred every year for years now. And here in North Carolina, the 23rd annual North Carolina Rally and March for Life is this Saturday. Great timing to fight back those feelings of frustration and powerlessness. You can come out. I'll be out there. I hope you'll join me. And then a lot of people, again, from across the body of Christ, Protestants, Catholics coming together for the cause of life. No better cause to do together other than the gospel itself. But this Saturday, the 23rd annual North Carolina Rally and March for Life. So we're going to be talking about this issue and a bunch of other things throughout the course of the show. And we're also going to hear from a good friend of mine that's on the front lines. Could you take care of the continue button in there, please, Seth? That's on the front lines as somebody that's got her own story. And we'll also talk about her experiences out there on the front lines in front of the abortion clinics. But for the entire show today, it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Bill Pincus, who's the president of North Carolina Right to Life. Bill, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Steve. Great. I'm doing great. Thanks for giving me a chance to voice some support for the pro-life movement.
Absolutely, and we appreciate all your efforts and everything going on. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect this Saturday. What's going to be happening this Saturday? This is from 1 to 4 p.m. Bicentennial Plaza, which is right across the street from the General Assembly in between the museums there in downtown Raleigh. But tell us what to expect, because I know you've got a great speaker lined up and other things happening, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening on the legislative front, your own experience with this. But what's Saturday going to look like?
So Saturday, last year we had about 1,200 people there, and we expect to have as many and hopefully more. I was very new to being the president, as I'm only 14 months into this now. But on Saturday, starting about 12:45, we're going to have a Christian band playing for about 30 minutes. That's Life Community Church Praise Band. After that, we'll present the colors. We'll sing the Star-Spangled Banner. And then I'll have a few remarks about the current state of North Carolina. Following that, Hands of Hope CEO and President Tanya Baker Nelson will do the invocation. And then we'll lead off with Congressman Mark Walker. He used to be District 6. He is no longer in office now, but he is very pro-life.
And running for the U.S. Senate. He's going to run for the U.S. Senate as well, which is awesome.
That's correct. He did announce that recently, and we're glad of that, because he had a great pro-life record in the Congress and the House of Representatives.
And then also our new Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, who is an incredible speaker, very powerful speaker, and loves the Lord and is pro-life. He's going to be awesome as well.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. He came to our prayer breakfast last year. We kind of postponed the prayer breakfast this year because of COVID and the restrictions that the hotels were putting on how many people we could have at a table and and that type of thing. But we were not going to postpone the march. The city tried to say we couldn't have the parade, but, you know, our First Amendment rights allow us to peacefully assemble and to protest. And we've been doing this since 1998, so this is our 23rd year. We've never had a complaint filed against us. We've always been peaceful, and we do not condone violence. I mean, we do not want anybody with any violent intents because it's just not right. You know, the Lord teaches love, and when the Lord was nailed on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing."
Exactly right. And so that's one of, in on that, and our stand against violence is one of the reasons that we're out there, the violence of abortion itself, which we'll, of course, unpack more as the show goes on. But it's such an, especially right now, Bill, we all understand that we're being watched perhaps more closely than we ever have been before in light of what happened at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol last week. And so we need to be prayerful and vigilant. We need to be on the lookout in case there are some bad actors that want to show up and try to ruin this. But I want to talk about this in the next segment of the show, Bill, is we're going to see, unfortunately, I think we're going to see at the legislative level federally, not here at the state level, and we're going to talk about that, but federally we're going to see a reversal of all the great advances that we've seen in the last 4 years under a Trump administration are pretty much going to be wiped away by a Biden administration. It won't take them more than a few weeks or a few months to do that. And now more than ever, perhaps we need to be even more vigilant than we have in the past. This is a challenging season we're about to start.
Amen to that.
And so how do you, from your perspective in organizing a march like this, was there ever a concern that, well, maybe it would be appropriate to step back from it this year? Or did this kind of embolden you guys in North Carolina Right to Life and the rest of us pro-lifers that, no, we need to not be controlled by the circumstances in D.C. We need to do what's right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, the March for Life in D.C. started in 1973. So that's been the longest continuous annual protest in United States history. Protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. In North Carolina, we started our march in 1998, and we have done it every year, and we will do it every year, rain, sleet, snow, sunshine. We will do it close to the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in 1973, which was January 22nd.
Amen. Dr. Bill Pincus, President of North Carolina Right to Life. I'm going to put you on hold. We're up against the break. This is Steve Noble with the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Feeling frustrated, angry, powerless? You don't have to, especially if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We operate from victory, not towards victory. And you need to remember that. We walk around like we have some kind of we're a bunch of losers. You don't have political power. Are you kidding me? Your Father, your Savior, your friend, if you're in Christ, is the creator and controller of the universe. Okay? And in you are his son or you are his daughter through Jesus Christ, you are a co-heir, you're a joint heir, you're at the table with him. And we're here to occupy until he comes back. And that's not a passive thing. That's not a wimpy thing. It's not a sit back and just cry in your soup thing. It's an engagement thing for the cause of Christ, the gospel being number one. And then the cause of life, which we're talking about today as the annual March for Life is coming up this Saturday here in North Carolina, the 23rd annual North Carolina Rally and March for Life this Saturday, January 16th from 1 to 4 p.m. That's in Bicentennial Plaza, which is basically the concrete area between the two museums right in front of the North Carolina State Legislature. If you've ever been down there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'll be there. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will be there. He will be off the hook in terms of his comments. He's a great speaker, very powerful, very bold, not afraid of anybody, our new Lieutenant Governor. Mark Walker, who was in the House of Representatives, who's now also getting ready, starting his run for the North Carolina or North for the U.S. Senate, is going to be there. And of course, Dr. Bill Pincus, our guest today, is going to be there, who's the president for North Carolina Right to Life. And again, Bill, thanks so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Steve.
Well, you as a physician for many, many years, how did you kind of get into the active part of being a pro-life Christian, Bill? Because I say this all the time on the air, and I'm not particularly here to make people feel comfortable. I'll say it reminds me of James. You show me your pro-life faith by what you say. I'll show you my pro-life faith by what I do. I don't know any convictional Christians, Protestant or Catholic, that don't say they're pro-life, but getting actually involved in the pro-life movement is different than just saying you're pro-life. So how did you kind of end up on the front lines? Because I know you're out in front of an abortion clinic several days a week now, and you're praying with pro-life people that are on the front lines. But how did you kind of cross that line, Bill, and get that much involved?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Steve, because I agree with you. A lot of times we're not very active. My mother was very pro-life. I have 5 brothers and 6 sisters. So
wow.
I came from a large family. We were very religious. We grew up in the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith has always been and always will be pro-life. But, you know, as I went through my middle stages of my life, I wasn't very active. A fellow at my church in Asheboro nominated me to be on the board of directors for North Carolina Right to Life in the early 2000s. And I started becoming more active at that time. I still had my full practice, and I was quite busy with that. So I supported the organization financially. But then, you know, as the latter years came back, you know, and I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm going to retire soon. Barbara Holt, who was our immediate past president and is still very active in the pro-life movement with National Right to Life, told the board that she was going to retire and that we needed to have somebody else. And so I stepped up to the plate and was elected, and I'm in my 14th month now. So I'm a little bit new on the political aspects of things, but I'm willing to learn, and I've made a lot of contacts over the last year that I hope will pay off as this legislative season gets up into high gear.
Yeah, because we need to make sure we talk about that. Before we do, though, I wanted to ask you, I know you get out in front of the abortion clinics with some of the other sidewalk counselors and Tim Rogers, our mutual friend, who helped set up the show today, and I appreciate that. Tim's on Facebook Live with us. And Bill, just FYI, mi casa, su casa, all right? So we're brothers on the same team eternally. We're on the same team with this life issue. So I'm very involved and have been for years. So anytime you guys need a statewide bullhorn, you have my number, you have my email. Don't be afraid to ask.
Great.
I will share this platform with anybody with the cause of life, because it's not my platform, it's God's platform. I'm just trying to be a good steward. But what was it like for you to actually get out there on that front line? Take us into what your experience has been like standing outside an abortion clinic as a Christian trying to intercede for these moms and these dads and these babies.
Well, Steve, it's really interesting, because if you never have done that, you don't understand the whole picture.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sitting there praying out there and you're with the counselors that hopefully will be able to offer hope to these ladies, you see many, many people come in and their faces are sad. Some of them are crying. Obviously, some of them are very determined also. But we're there to offer them an alternative. And, you know, I was out there, oh, I guess a month and a half ago, and it was a cold, windy day, and it was rain, and I had my one sign, 40 Days for Life, Pray to End Abortion. And this lady came to turn, and there were cars coming the other way, so she couldn't turn, but I made eye contact with her and just bent my head in prayer. And instead of turning, she went up the next block. And what's so crazy about this is you just don't know the power of what you're doing in the prayer.
That's
she
right.
turned into an empty lot and sat there for a few minutes, and I looked up at that direction. And then she came back down, drove into the driveway to the abortion facility, but stopped and rolled her window down. And several of our sidewalk counselors who are trained in helping these women and presenting alternatives to them were able to talk to her. So she came into the parking lot, and they spent a half an hour talking with her. And it was just incredible. I stayed out the front. I was still praying. It was cold and windy. The trucks would come by and splash you with water. That's how close to the street I was. But after the counselor said, talk to her. She said, who's that man out there? I need to give him a hug. He saved my baby today.
Wow. Wow.
And I tell you, she came up, rolled down the window, come over here, I need to give you a hug. Mm-hmm. And I just lost it. You know, I gave her a hug. I told her I loved her. I'd keep praying for her and her baby. And she had actually driven from out of state. And it was an incredible experience. And, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. We pray that it would, you know, just like the Lord said, you know, I'll leave the 99 sheep and go after that lost one.
That's right.
That's what we try to do on the sidewalk. But the focus of North Carolina Right to Life is legislation. And we are adamant at trying to get pro-life legislation through and signed by the governor and made into law, because we know that as we tighten restrictions on abortion, we're saving more babies.
That's right.
And just last year, in 2020 alone, 42 million babies worldwide were aborted, the number one cause of death in the world. And that's just mind-boggling if you take a moment think about it.
Yeah. It's unconscionable, and we think about it in the American context as we should. It's still 850,000, 900,000 a year by most estimates, abortions here in America. But 40 million worldwide is just shocking. Most people aren't aware of that. And so this continues to happen under our watch as followers of Jesus Christ. So apathy simply is not an option. Bill, I'm going to put you on hold. And when we come back, another person that has a personal experience with abortion and sidewalk counseling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to get back to our conversation with Dr. Bill Pincus, who's the president of North Carolina Right to Life. But I have lots of great blessings that come my way as a result of being on the radio and being an activist and doing different things all the way back to 2004. And God will just allow me to meet people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in different ways through radio or Facebook or through different events we do. And Carla Stowers is calling in to share her story. She also works right out on the front lines and a dear sister in Christ and a wife and a mother and a frontline worker in this fight for life. And we've been going back and forth for a couple years wondering when this day would arrive when Carla would join me on the air, and the day's finally here. Carla, how are you, sister?
Hey, Steve. I'm well. A little nervous, but I'm doing okay.
That's okay. You're with friends, so don't worry about it. It's like we're sitting at a Starbucks having this conversation, so no big deal. I appreciate you calling in. Well, it's your story, and wanted to give you the time to share it however you would like to and talk about your story and how you ended up in the pro-life movement. But take us into what God has done in your life, and so that we can kind of get a frontline view of what we're talking about today.
Okay. Well, my story is it's a long one, and pretty much almost 30 years in the making. And before I say anything about my story, I want to say that really my story is God's story. Mm-hmm. He really did a work in my life here recently. And so up until he did that work, I was completely pro-choice, and I completely believed in the movement and all that it stood for. And because of that, my story begins in 1991. I was a freshman in college. And, you know, very excited about this opportunity because I came to this country when I was 3 as an immigrant. And so I never really expected college to be in my future. And it wasn't something that my parents could afford or probably even thought about themselves. They were just trying to get through life. But because of, you know, I guess God's favor upon my life, which I obviously didn't recognize at the time, I was allowed to go to college. So as a freshman, my first year in, I fell in love and met this man. And, you know, before I knew it, we were obviously being intimate, and very, very much right away, I found myself pregnant and having the typical fears that most women go through when they're experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And I would have to say that considering my boyfriend was not supportive, of keeping this baby and not, and myself not wanting to put shame on my family, abortion at the time seemed like my only option. There were girls in the dorm that had been through this, so conversations with them led me to believe that this really was not going to be a big deal. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. You know, there's a lot about my story, the day of my abortion, that I don't recall. And it can be a little frustrating to me at times, but I figured God's got a reason that I'm not being, that I'm unable to recall certain things. Stupid little memories like the abortionist walking into the room and commenting on my toenail polish. It's a weird thing, but yeah. That's all that I remember. I believe my boyfriend dropped me off. I can't say for certain, but I do know the thing that I have always held on to was the fact that I had nobody to pick me up from the abortion facility.
Wow.
Not my boyfriend, because he went to play golf that afternoon. And so I had to, this is in Springfield, Massachusetts, at the Planned Parenthood, I had to walk a couple of miles back to his apartment after my abortion. And that's really, that's all of my story that I can recall. And so it was an experience that I was not proud of. But I truly, in those days and in the years to follow, believed that it was the best decision that I could have made for my situation.
Yeah.
But like most women in that situation, we take all that, the anger, the shame, and we just bury it. And that's what I did. I buried it so deep, and I promised that I would never tell anyone, because obviously, you know, I feared judgment.
Sure.
And people weren't going to love me, and I could never tell my parents. And so, yeah, I buried it deep down inside and tried to move on with my life.
And then what was kind of the turn of events, Carla, that brought that back up and then got you to the point where you were willing to get to the front lines and get involved with the movement? The very thing that left that dark stain on your life was the thing that you would run to eventually. But what kind of got you there?
Well, I can only say it was God. And it was really just about 5 years ago. Up until then, like I said, I firmly believed that I was pro-choice. I stood by my decision, my body, my choice. You could not tell me differently. And my husband and I, who is actually the only person that I've ever told my abortion story to, you know, we would have these conversations. And, you know, he was conservative, I was liberal, and we would have these conversations, and he was, you know, he supported, he didn't really understand what I had gone through, but he loved me, so he just, you know, went along with everything that I said. And right around 2015, leading up to the election, abortion was just, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
On TV, it was on radio, I would hear you talk about it, and I just kept feeling this deep conviction. And so in 2015, everything that I believed about abortion just got turned upside down on its head.
Wow.
And I felt like God was just telling me to go investigate, what does a partial birth abortion look like, Carla? You know, I hear it on TV.
Yeah.
And so I would go online. And I never, prior to that moment, I never had the inclination to go and research what I had been through, you know? And it was kind of like a light bulb went off. I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner?
Right.
And it started removing the scales from my eyes and seeing what it looked like at 8 weeks, 12 weeks, full term. You know, I just immersed myself in information, and God was so gentle with me that he did it little by little.
Yeah.
So it was all that information that was out there at my fingertips. And then I had like a medical issue that required I go see my OBGYN, and I know this is a little, like, dicey, but I had to have a biopsy. And the moment that I was laying on the table with no drugs or anything like that, because it was very unexpected, what they were doing to me in that moment made me think, I wonder if this is what I felt when I had my abortion. Gosh. And that's all I could think about, because it was extremely painful, and it was just kind of triggering more things just being shown to me. And so I just, and then I heard a lot of conversations about pregnancy resource centers. And I'm like, what are those? Because all I knew was Planned Parenthood.
Sure.
And I don't know how that's all I knew, but that's all I knew.
Well, I think that's important to remember. I mean, we all need to hear that and remember that, that we think everybody has the same level of knowledge about this stuff that we do. And that's just not true. And for some people, it's because they don't want to know. But for a lot of people, it's just literally ignorance. And I don't say that to be rude. It's just the reality of it. And so once you kind of got educated on that, I just have to move us forward a little bit. I'm sorry, Carla.
Sure, it's okay.
But like the first time you went out and you showed up and you got involved and you showed up at a clinic, what was it like for you that day to be involved on this side of the life decision, to be out there advocating for these moms and dads and babies?
Well, I saw a lot of, first of all, it was very scary for me, okay? I'd never expected to see myself on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
And just approaching people I don't know. I'm an introvert. I'm actually very shy. So to actually approach cars and strangers and start up a conversation about what they're about to experience or what they're doing there just is foreign to me. So I was very terrified. But what I saw was just young girls like me, you know, like Dr. Pink has said, some arrive and they're crying. Some arrive and they just avoid eye contact with you. Some are just very firm in their decision and there's nothing you can do to change their mind. I just saw all of that. And, you know, God gave me the presence of mind to just keep it together. And I really tried to, I felt that compassion for them because I knew exactly what they were going through. And so I wanted to be that person that I probably tried to avoid when I was walking out of the abortion clinic and having to walk past all these people.
And how long was that? How long ago was that, Carla, when you first showed up the first time?
Well, it was in July of 2018.
Yeah, and here you are coming up on 3 years later. Carla, I'm up against the break, but God bless you. Okay. You did awesome. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Steve.
All right. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. For those of you here on Facebook Live, you're looking at my studio, okay, and you see the speaker. And just for those of you on the radio, just go with me here, because I've got my speaker stand right in front of me. And on the speaker stand, I've got it right underneath the microphone part. You're like, that looks like a baby. Well, it's a little rubber baby. And just for you can see, I've got my hand right next to it on Facebook Live, so you can see. That's one of the little rubber babies that's basically a 10-week baby, okay, 10 to 12 weeks. They're that small, about the size of my pinky. I'm holding my pinky up here by comparison. And that's where that 10 to 12 week baby, that's it. And that's when most abortions happen. That's the real deal. That's what you're out there contending for. And people will tell you it's just a clump of cells. It's nothing. It's just a decision. It's nothing. It's a fetus. We don't even call it a child, right? But it is. You get up and close and personal with one of these little babies, and you're going to see the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the ears and the fingers and the toes, everything, okay? And there it is, right there. And that's why I have it on the mic stand today, not only as a reminder for myself, but as a reminder for you that we're talking about little children here. We're talking about babies, real people, have all the DNA they're ever going to get right from the moment of conception that is a human being, that God knew before the foundation of the world and is worthy of respect, dignity, and protection. And praise the Lord for Carla's story. And it's such an important point that she got dropped off at the abortion clinic by her boyfriend, and then she had to walk home by herself. And that being by yourself and not having the support around you is oftentimes the difference between life and death. And who's the support? Well, that should be us. That's the reason you go out there. That's the reason we pray. That's the reason we show up. And we're talking to Dr. Bill Pincus who's been with us for the whole show, who's the president of North Carolina Right to Life. And you can come out and see Bill this weekend and hear him speak, as well as North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. He'll be off the hook. And Mark Walker, who is serving North Carolina in the House of Representatives, who's now running for the U.S. Senate, a follower of Christ, who was also a pastor. And that's this Saturday, January 16th. If you're feeling powerless, frustrated, angry over the condition of the presidential election, what's going on in our country right now, pray about this stuff all the time. We should be praying without ceasing. But this is something you can actually do. You can put feet to your faith and do something positive with that frustration you're feeling, and come out and join us this Saturday. I'll be out there with my wife, 1 to 4 p.m., Bicentennial Plaza, which is right downtown Raleigh across the street, literally right in front of the General Assembly. It's going to be an awesome time of fellowship with fellow Christians, and we'll hear great speaking, great comments and prayer, and then we'll march together for the cause of life. It was so great to hear Carla's story, Bill, wasn't it?
Yes, it certainly was. And, you know, Steve, just to follow up on that a little bit, if you take a young child, say 4, 5, or 6 years old, and you show them a picture or an ultrasound of a baby, they're not going to call it a fetus. They're going to say baby.
That's right.
And it just is boggling that we as an adult can't put that together. You know, it's a baby. It's not a clump of cells. It's not a blob of tissue. It's a live human being. And just like you said, it has 46 chromosomes, all the DNA necessary. And when the baby's in the womb, that's how God designed it. 9 months, life in the womb, protected by the mother. And it's such a tragedy that we go and say, oh, boom, done. I'm done with my problem. They call it a problem. You know, throughout Scripture, you know, women who were barren were shunned. And it was, children are a gift from God.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's my sincere belief. And, you know, until my dying breath, I'm going to try to protect life, you know, from the moment of conception until natural death. We have 4 bills that we would like to try to get through the legislature this year. The one that most people may be familiar with is the Born Alive Survivor Act. It was brought up in 2019, and it basically says that if a baby survives the abortion, even though the intent was to kill the baby, that that baby now has to be treated like any other baby.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it's infanticide.
Yep, that's right.
And that's a barbaric treatment. I mean, it's crazy. The other bill that's kind of near to my heart is the Abortion Pill Reversal Notification Act. And this, you know, as a surgeon, I had to give my patients informed consent. So I would tell them not only the good things, but, oh, these are potential complications that can occur.
Right.
And with the abortion pill, if the lady changes her mind within 72 hours, there's a 2/3 chance that we can save that baby. And this bill, the only thing it would require is that the abortion facilities, the abortionists that are intent on destroying life, give the lady a pamphlet that says, hey, call these numbers if you change your mind.
Yeah.
And that may save a lot of babies. We know that since Dr. Delgado came up with that in 2008 or 2009, that over 900 babies have been saved by this. And there's no deleterious effects.
Yeah, it really is an amazing story. I've had him on the show a few times and had a chance to meet him in person, and a great story behind that. But a website you guys can go to, and this happens. Okay, there's like you were saying, Bill, there's over 900 babies that have been born as a result of this. Of course, people on the left are like, oh, this is unproven, blah, 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 blah. Well, they don't want anything that's out there for the cause of life. But abortionpillreversal.com is the website that they originally set up, where you can find out about that. And yeah, that 72-hour window, because you know there's women that regret it. They kind of come to their senses, like we saw in the movie Unplanned, unfortunately, she went through with it. But you can reverse that. Really a miraculous opportunity. AbortionPillReversal.com is a website for that. So, okay, so we got the Born Alive Act once again, and we'll see what Governor Cooper does with that, assuming we can get that passed, which I'm sure we can. But the Abortion Pill Reversal Act, which was basically requiring the clinics to tell them that this is an option for you. If you change your mind, here's an option, right? That's basically how that works. What are some of the other legislative initiatives going on for this year?
So, Steve, there are two other bills that have been passed in other states. And again, the one that we have in front is the Protection Against Dismemberment Abortions. Mm. And these are usually later term abortions after 15 weeks. The baby's too large and they end up having to rip the baby apart. And this is something that no human being should have to go through. The baby at that time is fully capable of feeling. They try to get away. In fact, in the movie Unplanned, you can see the baby. That was a suction curette, but the baby's darting away from it.
Yep.
So this is another horrific bill that we as humans should be treating each other with respect. And the final bill that we'd like to see is one that is called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. And we know from medical studies now, there's over 50 studies that document that the baby definitively can feel pain by 20 weeks of age.
Yeah.
The spinal thalamic tract, which basically will take a nerve from your big toe, run it to the spinal cord and up to your brain, up to the thalamus, is completely intact at that point in time. And so, again, this is just a barbaric procedure where the baby has no anesthetics whatsoever. It is painful until the baby dies. So these are just our society has turned from God. We are barbaric. But, you know, in the end, we know that the Lord's will be done and that he will be victorious.
Amen. That's exactly right. And as I mentioned before, you know, we operate from that victory. This is a mop-up operation from an eternal perspective. But yet there's like you said earlier, Bill, there's 40 million babies a year right now worldwide that are being taken out, being killed via abortion. And a lot of these via the things you're talking about when you get into that 13th, 14th, 15th week. When it's all dismemberment, that's the only choice there. There's dismemberment, and then, of course, the pain capable at 20 weeks, and just trying to back this down. I know there are some people out there like, no, it's all or nothing, but every one of these moves will save lives, and every one of those lives matters. So give us, we got about 2 minutes left, Dr. Pincus, and we're talking to Dr. Bill Pincus, who's the president of North Carolina Right to Life, and we've got the big rally in March for Life this Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. here in Raleigh down at Bicentennial Plaza, which is literally in front of the General Assembly. But one more exhortation and challenge to our friends listening across the state today and in other places. This isn't just happening in North Carolina, by the way, to come out on this Saturday. And even though we might feel rejected right now and down because of what's going on politically, why should we join you this Saturday?
Well, Steve, it's a great introduction to our organization. We've been around since 1973. We were founded by Emma Osteen. She's now, I think, 98 or 99. We need members to join our organization so we can keep you on our email list. We will notify you about upcoming legislation, get involved, call your legislator, send them an email. You'd be surprised how many people are nervous about that. I know I was when I first talked to my legislators, but they need to hear from us. They are elected by us. They serve we, the people.
That's exactly right, and everybody would be shocked. Just like how much your prayers can make a difference or just your presence, as you shared earlier from your story, and Carla's got countless stories. I've seen it myself. Everything you do out of faithfulness matters. And God will use all of it. You'll get to see a little bit of it, but he's going to use it all. So let's all do our best to be faithful to the cause of life, which you can do this Saturday, January 16th, 1 to 4 p.m., right downtown Raleigh at Bicentennial Plaza. You can go to the North Carolina Right to Life, which is ncrtl.org, ncrtl.org. There's a little button there for events. You can click on that and get all the details there. But pretty easy this Saturday, 1 p.m. Bicentennial Plaza, right in front of the legislature downtown Raleigh. I'll be there. And Dr. Pincus, God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for all your time today. We appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.